This morning we're blessed. We have Jim Lanier that's going to speak for us. And I'm sorry, Stuart, I still don't have that list up here. But Jim, go ahead.
We're starting to get a little old hat at this, getting up here and preaching. Might become a habit. You know, it's been really wonderful. We have a little bit of elders' time before church just about every Sunday, and today it was great. It's great to have the elders that we serve with, because if it wasn't for those guys, Clark and Stuart and Tony, it would be hard for me to get up here. They're solid as rock. They keep you in line when you're starting to get out of line a little bit. Somebody will mention it and make you adjust your behavior just a little bit. Okay, one wonderful day. The Easter season, it's springtime. The whooping cranes are migrating through. Sandhill cranes are pretty much done. All the birds. We should be having rain and the grass should be greening up. I know there is some greening up, but not like what it should be. And yes, we've had 100-degree weather in March. I don't know if you call it global warming, luck of the draw, or what, but let's hope it's not signs of things to come. Okay, reading. We're going to start, continue with our readings in Romans. Okay, so I'm going to, a couple weeks ago, Stuart did Romans chapter 1. I'm doing Romans chapter 2. Is that right, Stuart? Okay, I just wanted to make sure because sometimes I don't remember things quite right. And then if it was chapter 3, I'm done, so we can go home. Okay. So to start off chapter 2, we're going to read verse 7, or chapter 7, verse 1 of Matthew. And I'm going to read different versions of this from the NIV. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. The New Living Translation. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. English Standard Version. Judge not that you and that you be not judged. The Berean Standard Bible. Do not judge, or you will be judged. King James, judge not that ye be not judged. All the way down to the Amplified Bible, do not judge and criticize and condemn others unfairly with an attitude of self-righteousness, superiority, as though assuming the office of a judge, so that you will not be judged unfairly. This all goes back to This goes right along with the start of chapter 2. We can also add a few extra verses onto that. And, you know, do not judge so that you will not be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with that, and with what measures you measure, it will measure to you. It will be used to measure you. And why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So there is no excuse for hypocrisy. And reading the first few chapters, or verse 1 through 5 of Romans chapter 2, you therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on another. For on whatever grounds you judge the other, you are condemning yourself. Because you who pass judgment do the same thing. And we know that God's judgment against those who do such thing is based on truth. So when you, O man, pass judgment on others, yet do the same things, do you think that you patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you to repentance? But because of your hard and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself. For the day of wrath, when God's righteousness judgment will be revealed, God will repay each one of us according to his deeds. Okay. So what we find, you know, we do those self-examination thing last week for our communion meditation. I talked about doing a self-examination. Started doing a self-examination when I was preparing this. How many times do I pass judgment on folks? How many times do people pass judgment on me? We're all guilty. You know, it's hard. It's very hard not to pass judgment on somebody. Okay? But by reading this, what we find is that Paul has turned the spotlight on anyone who points their fingers. And the very act of judging others exposes the same rebellion, or how about instead of rebellion, we say flaws, hidden in the critic's own life. God's judgment is steady, fair, and based on truth. His patience flows from the riches of his kindness and designed to steer people towards real change, not to give license for ongoing sin. So if we continue with the hypocrite, being the hypocrite, judging the folks, that is sin. You might not think of it that way, but it is. Okay, so continuing on. And this is certain judgment for everybody, the certain judgment. So 5 through 11. Okay, so we've already read 5, 6. God will repay each one according to his deeds, and to those who by perseverance in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow wickedness, there will be wrath and anger. We need to make a choice here, folks. Which do you want? Do you want the wrath and anger, or do you want the eternal life? Okay, so stubborn hearts. And we have stubborn hearts. My heart is stubborn. But with every time that we pose the hypocrite, being a hypocrite or passing judgment on folks, that is just adding more for that coming day when God's going to pass judgment on us. And eternal life waits for each one of us who persist in doing good through God, seeking heart, while anger and distress face the self-centered. Okay, the continuing sin. Okay, then the law is written on the hearts, verse 12 through 6, or through 16. All who sin apart from the law will also perish from the law, and all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but it is the doers of the law who will be declared righteous. Those who sin without ever hearing the Mosaic laws still perish apart from it. Those who sin under the law will be judged by it. Merely listening to the law means nothing. Doing it matters. Amazingly, many Gentiles instinctively follow moral lines because the law is written on their hearts. Their conscience bears witness, and God will judge hidden motives through Jesus Christ. And as we study, like in our adult Sunday school, going through Mark, we're studying it, and if people will be honest, it reveals our flaws. It reveals unrepentant sin. Okay. The false security and religious badges. Okay. Those, what are badges? Those are just things that we do or that we use. Okay. 17 through 24. The Jews and the law. Now, if you call yourself a Jew, if you rely on the law and boast in God, and if you know his will and approve of what is superior because you're instructed by the law, and if you are convinced that you are a guide for the blind, a light for those in the darkness, and an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of infants, because you have in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth, you then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? You who preach against stealing, do you steal? You who forbid adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? As it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Jesus, the Jewish hearers who prided themselves on possessing the law and their Abrahamic heritage are confronted here. Teachers, teaching others while practicing the opposite always bring dishonor from God or brings on dishonor to God's name among the nations. And Scripture's warning, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. And finally, in verse 25 through 29, circumcision, okay? And we all know what circumcision is, but we may have to change that, our thoughts, just a little bit. And from a physical circumcision to a spiritual circumcision, one of the heart, a circumcision of the heart, so to speak. Circumcision has value if you observe the law. But if you break the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. And if a man who is not circumcised keeps the requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? And the one who is physically uncircumcised yet keeps the law will condemn you, who, even though you have the written code and circumcision are a lawbreaker. A man is not a Jew because he is outwardly, nor is he circumcision the only outward and physical sign. No, a man is a Jew because he is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a man's praise does not come from man, but from God. Physical circumcision, once the sign of the covenant, of covenant belonging, profits only when tied to observance. Break the law, and that badge loses value. Keep the law from the heart, even an uncircumcised Gentile is counted as covenant and as faithful. Real identity is inward. Circumcision of the heart by the Spirit wins God's praise, even if human applause is absent. Now, this is sort of a sermon that I used to hear all the time back when I was a kid in a Southern Baptist church in Lewis, Kansas. Okay, did not go away feeling good. But here's what the preacher would always say: come back next week. Okay, the good news is here. And we're getting to the good news. Next week, Easter Sunday, right? Yeah. It's good. What a wonderful time. You know, we should all be in prayer for Easter and praise Jesus for what he gave up, what he did for us. If you'll join me in just a closing prayer here, we'll get on with it. Heavenly Father, we pray to you and your son Jesus. We love the scripture. It is fun. It is great. It's eye-opening. Hopefully, what is being said here behind this pulpit, in this church, is pleasing to you and glorifies your name. Be with us as we go throughout today. In your name, amen. Okay, so we're ready for an invitational hymn, I believe. Yeah.